Wow, who would have thought? For this way today. So thank you for that. Well, welcome, ladies. What a blessed time. We love Danielle's worship. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give her a hand. Let's give him a hand. So what a blessing it is to be led into the throne room. Amen. Such a blessing. And we love whenever Danielle can come and bless us with that. But welcome. Welcome. If you notice, we have a new name. Do you see that? Is everybody excited about that? Some of you don't know because you're new. Let me see if you're new with us today. Let me see if this is your first time. Okay, wow. All right, welcome. We have a lot of new gals with us this year, and we have changed our name. We are Calvary Women through and through, and so we just really wanted to be cohesive with our church. And so we just are now Calvary Women instead of SOF Women, because it meant a lot to us 4 or 5 years ago when we sort of grabbed that name, Steps of Faith, because we were making lots of little steps and they got bigger and bigger each time. But many times people would ask, what does SOF stand for? And so we would explain and go through the whole thing, and we thought, there's no explanation here, right? I mean, it is easy. We are just Calvary Women, SJC, and we're blessed, for sure. But you may notice this, as I said, this new logo. So with this new logo today, we are thrilled that this weekend we're launching our new website. And so with our new website is coming new things. So it's a new name, a new website, and just new things. And so we're so blessed that with some of our new gals, we'll have just new all the way around. New name, new website, and new ministry opportunities for you. And a few of those opportunities, I'm just going to list them because I'm really excited about them. Our first new opportunity this year is called Titus 2 Talk. And what that is that most of you know the scripture Titus 2. Titus 2 is the older women really encouraging and exhorting the younger women in their marriage, in parenting, and just in good old homemaking skills. And so what we decided to do is do sort of a mentoring thing where we would take our older women, would open up their home, and host some younger women in their home in these areas. And so look for that. It's coming in November. And there's a limited amount of space. So once we announce it, if you really are interested, you will want to sign up immediately, because once the spots are gone, they're gone. And then we'll have our next one. So it's only going to be a small group of gals that 'll get in each time. So we'll probably have to make sure that everybody gets a chance. So anyhow, but that's really exciting. Also, for our younger women, we're excited that we're launching our Calvary Young Women's Ministry and our Calvary Girls Ministry. Calvary Young Women is 16 and up, and Calvary Girls is age 11 to 16. So it's more like for our young gals. Part of our website will be devoted just for our young girls and then our young women, and it'll be different authors that are pouring in into those different areas for our young girls, things that they're interested in, devotionals, ways to point them to Jesus, to grow in their little walks with the Lord, and then for our young women also. So same thing. We'll have blogs, devotionals, ways that they can get involved, things that are pertinent and relevant for them and where they are in life right now. So we have a couple things up today, but this weekend we're looking to complete our launch. So you might want to just log on. Is it up? There we are. Our new name goes with our new site, which is calvarywomen.net. Easy enough to remember. So that is our new web address. So if you go there, it'll take you to our new site. Even if you accidentally go to SOF Women, it'll take you here as well. So that is what's new for us. Also, we're going through, so much is new. We're going through something that we haven't done before. Is we have never done four books at one time in one year. So I'm thrilled that we're going to knock out four books at once. I'm thrilled to go through Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians together with you ladies this year. But before I talk about that, for you gals that are new, I just want to introduce myself to you. I'm Michelle Randall. I'm Pastor John's wife. And a little bit about us. We've been married for 23 years. We have four children. We have one that's soon to be getting married. We have one in college, one in high school, and one in junior high. So we've spanned all of the age groups there. And let's see. We've been in the ministry for, I think 20 years. We have lived in two states, planted two churches, basically planted a church 18 years ago in Florida, Calvary Chapel Brandon. The Lord moved us back to Southern California. Here we've been here for 8 years. We took over this fellowship. We call it a church plant, nevertheless. And we've been here now for 8 years. I can't believe it. And we are thrilled to be back in our native state of California. And so it's been such a blessing. But we have moved around. We've moved seven times. We've had our kids in 9 different schools, poor babies. And, you know, we just are about the Lord's business. So we are thrilled to listen and follow when he says go. But John and I both, we have a lot in common. We both love Mexican food, coffee, and we adore the beach. So we love God's creation at the beach. But as far as teaching goes, for me personally, I started as a fifth grade teacher at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa back in 1990. And I was young. I was 21, just graduated college, but I met my husband there. He was my janitor. And and we were engaged 19 days later. So it was real quick. We always tell everybody we are the exception, not the norm. That's how the Lord did it in our life. Everything was quick. We met, got engaged, got married, got pregnant, went into the ministry. Everything was very quick with us. The Lord just had to get us ready and get us on our way very quickly. But I've been teaching women for the past 18 years, and I am very passionate about it. I have been a cheerleader in high school and college, and that will occasionally come out. I'm sorry if it does. I may hit a high V. I will not do a herky. I promise you that. Can't do that anymore. But, you know, just it's in there, and so it comes out every once in a while when I'm teaching. I just have a desire to exhort you, encourage you, root you on, tell you that that it's always too soon to give up. And that's what my job is. So, but I am privileged to study these four books with you this year, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And we've entitled this year's study, Knowing Jesus More. And we just felt like that's our desire, and that's what we want to accomplish. We want you all to leave here this year knowing Jesus more than you stepped foot through those two doors. So that's our desire this year. The word know means to have in your mind, to understand, to have a clear and complete idea, to have learned, be convinced, or be certain of. So one thing that we want you to be convinced of or to be certain is that Jesus is the only one that can bring true joy in the midst of trials. We'll learn that this year. That the truth in the midst of lies can only come through the Word of God, who brings the truth, and that's what we want to present to you. And that Jesus is the only one who can bring liberty in the midst of bondage. And that's where we'll start this year, in the book of Galatians. So I'm just excited to be able to teach you through these amazing books. So I want to just pray, and then we'll get into just a little study this morning. And then I'll let you go to your groups, because I know they have a lot to accomplish today. So, Lord, we do love you and praise you, and we ask that you would just anoint your servant during this time. Lord, these are words on a paper unless the Holy Spirit is here to bring an anointing, God. So we count on your Spirit. We know that you're here with us. Lord, thank you for these women that have come to learn from you, to sit at your feet, and really to know you more. So we love you and praise you and give you this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, first, what I'd like to do is just give you a quick excerpt from each of these books that we're going to be learning. And our Bible study does a fabulous job of when you take it home and you can actually start reading, of giving you the history behind each of these books. So I didn't feel like that was something I needed to do. It's done for you and you can read it. But I really felt that there was a couple areas that the Lord put on my heart to concentrate on today. But first, giving you just an overview, the book of Galatians, if you're taking notes, is about our liberty in Christ. We, have been set free from sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. One thing really quick, there is a note section this year. Exactly. Oops. Okay. It's there this year. And I know so many of you are excited. So you may flip to page? What page is it? It's page 12. Oh, do it on the back of your mat because you want next week. Oh. Okay. Note to self for next time. Get a note page in the very front. Okay. You know, we're learning here, okay? Grace. So on the back of your map page, maybe, if you're taking notes, then you can say, write down your little notes that you're taking to. The book of Galatians today, you want to note that it's about your liberty in Christ, that we've been set free by the blood of Jesus, and yet, even though we've been set free by the blood of Jesus, we are liberated, we are not to use that liberation as a license to sin. That's what we're going to talk about in Galatians, being set free, not going back. I was talking to my daughter in the car today, and she asked, what are you sharing about? And so I told her, well, what is that book about? So I got to share with her in the car what this book is about, and I got to tell her that once you have been set free by Jesus Christ, he desires that we go forward. You know, walking means that you're moving forward. You're not sitting, you're not standing, you're not going backwards. Walking is movement in the forward direction. So I got to share that with my daughter this morning, telling her, once you've been saved, you're not to go backwards. And that was Paul's heart for the Galatians. They were saved. He planted this church. He wanted them to move forward. But there had been some teaching coming in that had caused them to actually go backwards. And his heart was breaking for them. I know what that's like because we have planted a church before. It would be like our church plant in Florida, somebody, us being gone now, coming in and teaching them doctrine that we didn't teach them, and our heart breaking for them. And so this was Paul's heart for the Galatians, writing this letter now, 2 years later, encouraging them to go forward and marveling that they've turned away so soon from that which he instructed them. So that's the book of Galatians. I'm excited about that book because I believe that it is a very real time right now in the church and what we're going through. We'll also see in the book of Ephesians, though, that God has created us, his workmanship, that we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. And he says, therefore, you are to walk, meaning forward movement, in those good works. In Ephesians, we will talk about the full armor of God. In Galatians, we'll talk about the fruit of the Spirit. You know, as I said, to walk means to move forward in the Spirit. And Ephesians tells us that we're to walk in several ways. We're to walk in love. We are to walk in light. We are to walk in wisdom. It also instructs us how we're to walk in our marriage and in parenting. And then, as I said, to be suited up in the full armor of God, that you can actually fulfill all of these walks. Because there's no way that you can walk in all those areas unless you are protected, right? I mean, where is often the greatest warfare? In the home. And so we can't get home and take off our armor. We have to keep it on 24/7. And so we're going to be encouraging Ephesians to walk in all these different areas. You know what I love about the Word of God? Everything you need to know is right there. Everything. Every subject. Everything. Marriage, parenting, wisdom, singleness. Everything is right here. And so we're going to, in Ephesians, hit on all of those wonderful areas and really dig deep into the marriage, into parenting, and into how we seek wisdom out of the Lord and how we're light in this dark world. So exciting. Moving on to Philippians. Philippians, we'll study this book that's referred to as the Epistle of Joy. You know, I love the book of Philippians because Paul really loved these people. You know, he planted the church in Philippi, and then they were the ones that years later sent aid to him as he was in prison. So Paul writes this letter to the Philippians really to thank the church for their help in his time of need. And you know, any time that you've been in need and the church has come to your aid, doesn't it just unify you with them? There's something really sweet about people, even people you don't know well, coming to your side and helping you in a time of need. It's just, that is the function of the body of Christ, isn't it? That we are to come together and we're to help one another. The Bible says that we're to bear each other's burdens. And that's how one way we can do it, by helping others. So also, Paul encourages us and the Philippians to maintain the unity in the body of Christ. And again, this is one way we can do it. To be humble, that's important. To be a light, again, in this dark world. And then to press towards heaven. You know, that's where our hope really is, right? I mean, that's what we're all longing for, reaching towards, is heaven. Our eternal place that we're going to be forever and ever. And so that's our hope. Our eyes are set there. We're here for just a dash of time, not very long, really, in light of eternity, right? Because to the Lord, one day is like a thousand. So for us, we're not here for really long. So the time that the Lord allows us to be here, we really need to make it count. We really need to do the best we can to be a light in this world before the Lord takes us home. And sometimes we're taken home unexpectedly. Other times we are aware of it. Nevertheless, while the Lord allows us to be here, let's make it count. Well, it's been said that where Ephesians focuses on the body of Christ and all of the functions of the body of Christ, Colossians, our next book, focuses on the head, Christ himself. And this little book of four chapters shows us that Christ is indeed the head. And the Bible says where the head is sick, the body is sick also. We need a healthy head. Obviously, Jesus is the head, a good, solid shepherd, pastor. Everything from the church filters down from the head, because if we're the body of Christ, you know, if you have a headache, isn't it just miserable? Everything else aches. Same is true here. This illustration, this symbolism of the head, of a literal head, and then the body. We all function together, but it's important that the head is healthy. And we're going to really look at that in the book of Colossians. Also, we're going to see the preeminence of Jesus Christ. He was first and foremost everything in our lives. And that, as a Christian, should be our number one priority. Jesus, number one. And then everything else falls into place after that. You know, if any of you, which I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I'm sure you could say at one point in time or even now, we've messed up our priorities. You know, we've put things in front of the Lord. And I know I have done that many times. Whatever it is, marriage, kids can even come in front. Ministry can come in front of the Lord. There's so many things that are vying for our attention. But if we can discipline ourselves, and this is one thing that we try to really instill in you here, is to go through the Word of God every day. That's why we break it up into 5 days. Every day, Monday through Friday, you go through a little bit of the Word of God each day. And we're trying to help you to get get in the habit of being in the Word of God each day. I tell my kids, it's like brushing your teeth. You cannot leave home without doing it. It's so essential. There are so many amazing scriptures. Once you go through these two books, you'll be like, oh my goodness, that's like my favorite scripture. And then you go to the next book, that's my favorite scripture. There's just, these four books are just oozing with those good ones, like Philippians 4:13, you know, the one that we probably all have in memory. You can do all things through Christ who? Exactly. Okay, we know that one. Philippians 2:10, you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in. Colossians 3:2, seek and set your minds on the things above, where Christ is seated. And in Galatians 5:1, stand fast, I love that, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free and do not entangle yourself again in that yoke of bondage. No, don't go back. Galatians 5:1. And there are so many more. I mean, like I said, the fruit of the Spirit, the full armor of God. I mean, this is good. This is a good, meaty study. And you know, regarding being set free from that yoke of bondage, once you're set free, you never want to, or I should say you never should go back. You may be tempted, but we should not go back, because once we're free and filled with the Holy Spirit, we now have been given the power to overcome. The Bible says that you are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, meaning that you've already won the victory. He took it on the cross. So we need to walk around with our high V. We are not to put our arms down, right? Okay, the cheerleader comes out. So we are to walk around in a high V. If you remember anything I say today, it's walk around with your high V. Hit your high V, because we are not to walk with our arms down. Do you remember that story in the Bible with Moses, right? So what happened with the victory? When they were experiencing victory, his arms were raised. When they were not experiencing victory, his arms were down. You know, we can grow weary while doing good, can't we? It's difficult sometimes to hang in there. But when we hit our high V and really walk in victory, there's nothing that can get you down. There's nothing. So we are to stand in that victory. You know what? But herein lies that danger. And the whole book, like I said, of Galatians is about going forward and not going back. That's the danger. The danger for all of us is a temptation to go backwards. And again, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I'm sure we can all say at one time or another, we have gone through that. That's part of our sanctification, becoming more and more like Jesus. So we need to go forward in our walk with the Lord. You know, those chains that used to bind us when we come to Christ, we're set free from. We don't want to be chained again. And that power that used to hold us, it used to grip us, we've been set free. We've been, the defeat that we used to walk around with, we are defeated no longer, because Jesus died on the cross and he has liberated us. He has set us free by his death on the cross. So we now have victory in Jesus Christ. He set us free from all those entanglements. We are to walk in victory with our arms held high. But you know what? It's a daily decision, isn't it? I mean, we can have a wonderful time in the Word of God. This is just the way it goes. And then you can turn around and get defeated or slammed or something happen. It's a choice, a daily, I would even say a moment by moment choice that we have to walk in victory and to not let the enemy defeat us, rob us, steal us of our joy, right? We are to be free, and we're set free from that. So it's available, but the choices are ours to really walk in that, to go forward and not backwards. So this is going to be a great year. I guarantee it, because the victory is yours just for the asking. So today, what I wanted to do is I want to take a few moments, because we really don't do this in our Bible study, is to introduce you to the author of these books. And the author of the books, most of you probably know, is Paul the Apostle. So I'm going to take just a moment, and I want to talk about Paul. You may remember that Paul didn't always start out as an apostle, right? He was Christianity's most zealous enemy, but he was handpicked by Jesus Christ to become the gospel's most passionate messenger of the gospel. You know, after Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, most of us know that. If you don't, we'll read it here in Galatians. But after his conversion, he spent the next 3 years in the Arabian desert being tutored, taught by Jesus Christ himself. Wow, what a school of discipleship that must have been, right? I mean, with Jesus himself. You know, Paul was accustomed, though, to having the best teachers. He had the best scholar, Gamaliel. He had the best scholar in his teachings of, you know, how to be a Pharisee and a scribe. And so as he was learning, as he was younger and spent all those years being tutored by the very best scribe, he too would be tutored by the very best teacher, Jesus Christ. I always tell new believers when they get saved that you should count on 2 to 3 years, getting 2 to 3 years under your belt of just spending time alone with Jesus. And I have walked with the Lord long enough, now 30 years I've walked with the Lord, and seen enough people come and go from the Lord to know that is absolutely essential. And some of you can raise your hand here now and know that when you first come to the Lord, the most important thing to do is separate, is it not? To separate from the world, to separate from friends, to separate from people, because we are not strong enough to stand on our own. We need just to be surrounded by godly people. We need to be surrounded by Jesus Christ, constantly having that influx of the Word of God coming in, and giving out. But I say, and I know it sounds like a long time, but it's not. It goes by so fast, right, Jacqueline? 2 years, right? 2 to 3 years under your belt. And then it's amazing, year three, that you are finally rooted and grounded and you can stand. And maybe then the Lord would have you go back and share with some of those non-believers. But the first few years, it's absolutely essential for you to make it with the Lord to separate. And we see it with the disciples, we see it with Paul, we see it in Scripture all the time. Why don't we see it for ourselves? It's true, because it's hard. It's hard when you're in the world to then come to Christ and feel like you're losing friendships that you have, but really you're not losing them, you're gaining so much more. And what are those friends to you anyways? It's not like they can encourage you in your walk with the Lord. It's not like they can lift you up and pray for you. So for a time, it's absolutely vital to follow this guideline. Separate, get yourself plugged into church, be in the Word of God, and have your own Arabian desert experience with Jesus, and you will see, I promise you, you will see fruit for sure. You know, it's interesting that the one that the devil loves to go after is the new ones. Isn't it true? You know, he goes hard after those newbies, and he'll put everything in their place. And it's known that sea turtles, when they hatch, if you know anything about sea turtles, when they hatch, they run as fast as they can, where? To the water. Why? Not because they need the water, because the birds are waiting to attack them. The birds are waiting. They watch. They wait for those little turtles to hatch. And before they can get down to the water, they grab them. And that's exactly what happens with new believers. When we hatch, we're running, and we have to run as fast as we can to the living water, the Word of God, because that is where we will not get picked off. That's where we're safe from the enemy, from those attacks of the birds. And it's so amazing how right there in creation, we see an illustration of what's very true with us as well. So run to the living water, not just you new ones, all of us in the morning. First thing, run to the living water. That's where we are safe. And that's where our thirst will be quenched. So no matter how old we are, we all need the living water, right? We all need it. And I think the older I get, the more aware I am of how much I'm in need of it. So for Paul, though, not only did he change through this time that he was tutored by Jesus Christ. I mean, a radical transformation for sure. Not only did he change, but God also changed his name. Don't you love that? I mean, his change was so radical, he changed his name. And I often wonder, what would my name be, Lord? But which is cool, as you think it's something great. Well, listen, because Paul went from Saul, meaning he was asked for, highly asked for, to Paul, meaning small. Isn't that awesome? He went from highly asked for to small. That's the Lord. Isn't that cool? In the desert, the once brilliant scholar became small. He went from prideful to humble. And that's what our God does, doesn't he? He takes our arrogance and smashes it and makes us dirt and dust. We're nothing. We are small. He is big. And the smaller we get, the bigger he is. I mean, for goodness sakes, he holds the universe in his hand. The earth is his footstool. He knows the number of hairs on our head, thoughts in our mind before we think them. I mean, our God is big, right? And we are very small in comparison to how big he is. And for the first time ever, Saul saw how big God was, and he became small. And his name does mean small. Now, he was small in stature, but he became small because he was so prideful and arrogant and angry. He was an angry man. You know, I was thinking about Paul and how the disciples at first were so afraid of him. You know, even after his 3 years with Jesus, he came back and he only was able to meet with two disciples because all the rest of them were afraid still. They were afraid of him because he was the one who was after the church, persecuting the church. He was the one who ordered Stephen to be stoned to death. I mean, that's who we're talking about. And so they were rightly afraid. But nevertheless, God had changed him so radically and changed his name that he wrote most of the New Testament. I mean, this is amazing what God did in this man. But it made me think of anybody in our mind that we can think of that we have said ever, there is no way. There's no way they can get saved. There's no way they will come to Christ. And so what I want to do right now is if when I just said that somebody came to your mind, write their name down. Right now, anybody that you've ever said, there's no way. There's no way. No way. That person is so far gone. There is no way that God can reach them. Now what I want you to do is commit to pray for that person every day. And you watch. I mean, they may be saved now, but they may not be. And you watch God work. What he'll do first is he'll change your heart before he does anything in theirs. And he gives you this love and this sweet burden for them to pray. And so I felt like the Lord wanted me to share that with you today because I know somebody comes to my mind. And so my heart is stirred now to pray for them daily. You know, another question that I ask myself is, who prayed for me to get saved? You know, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. So you may wonder, did anybody pray for you to get saved? I so wondered that I went back in my history to find out if I had any godly heritage. Seriously. Was there anybody in my family that walked with the Lord? Because in my direct family, and then, you know, down from there, I didn't know. And I found out, it was a year ago at Christmas time, we got a record player. And, you know, and that just kind of, maybe it was 3 years ago, just started coming back in records, and now they're out again, or I don't know. But anyways, so we got one, and my mom at Christmas time gave me a stack of records. Oh, these are your old records that you had. I was like, oh my goodness, from wherever, 80s, 90s. I'm like, oh, I don't want those. But anyways, so she gave them to me, and on the top, she said, oh, I stuck some other records in there from your great-grandfather. And I go, my great-grandfather? And she said, oh, yeah, he was a musician. And I said, oh, really? And so it was like little 45s. And I put the 45 on the record player. And it gets me every time I talk about it. And he was a believer. And he sang about Jesus. And he was actually used mightily in his era back there, back then. I didn't know him because he died before I was born, but he prayed for me. You know, him and my great-grandma, my great-grandpa prayed for me. And so I often listen to these little 45s that are all about Jesus, about the promised land. It's really cute music, you know, but it's the sweetest thing, and it just brought me to tears because I saw that I did have a godly heritage. It might have skipped a few generations, but it's there. And so you never know. So that my exhortation is to you. You could be the godly heritage. You grandparents, start praying for your grandkids. Start praying for your grandkids' spouses. Who knows? My husband comes from a godly heritage. Who knows that his grandparents didn't pray for me before I even got saved? Somebody prayed for you. That's all I want to say. And it is our job now to be the godly heritage that maybe we never knew, but it's our job just to pick it up and to start praying for our granddaughters and grandsons, and we may not even have them yet, for, you know, our children, for our husbands, if you're single, and then your children. And it's never too early to start praying that way. So what a blessing. You know, who would have known that at 19, then I would have given my life to Jesus Christ, and then 2 years later prayed. I got to pray with my mom to receive Jesus, and then 2 years later my dad, and my sister's still praying for her. So who would have thought? You just never know who will get saved is what I'm trying to say. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. So that's just the beginning of the story with Paul. Of course, you know, we know that he went on to forge this great territory. He went to the known world at the time there in ancient Greece, to all of those countries and cities. And he shared the gospel message, though, in a different way, in a way that no one had ever shared before. Because you remember, who were the first people to tell about Jesus? Besides the demon-possessed man, we know he was the first one. But besides that, it was when, after Pentecost, when the persecution hit, what happened? The disciples were scattered all over the world at the time, and they, wherever they ended up, they told people about Jesus. But Paul didn't do that. He wasn't scattered because of persecution. He went voluntarily, sailed, walked. Maybe he took a horse occasionally, I don't know. But he went to these places voluntarily. And he, on three missionary journeys, each of them 2 to 3 years long, and he traveled around as the first long-term missionary. So he brought that whole concept of missionary work, long-term missionary work, to the Bible here. And of course, he went and preached to a people that wasn't his own. He was a Jew. He was called to the Gentiles. You know, but Paul the Apostle knew what it meant to go through difficulties. And, you know, we'll learn, if you don't know already, that he was shipwrecked several times, that he was beaten and left for dead, drove out of the city and left for dead, that he was imprisoned, that he was beaten and bitten by a viper. I mean, this guy had been through everything, and yet he did not relent. He continued. And don't you love that about Paul? I mean, he's a fighter, right? He just keeps going. They drag him out of the city, and he goes back into the city. You know, they beat him up, he goes back, just constantly going back. And he just had such a passion and a boldness for the Lord, and I love that about Paul. You know, but during, there was a time that he was, you know, arrested under house arrest and in Rome. And during that time, three of the four books that we will be studying were written. So it was Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians were written while Paul was under house arrest in Rome. So just think, if he never was arrested, he wouldn't have written those. He wouldn't have. There's 14 books of the Bible that Paul wrote. I believe he wrote Hebrews, so I'm going to say 14. That Paul wrote, and that's more than half of the New Testament. And he couldn't have had the time to write that unless he was, you know, under house arrest. He couldn't move. He had such a rigorous schedule. I know what this is like. Sometimes, have you ever, like, the Lord just allowed you to get sick or something happened, you're on your back? What happens when you're on your back? You look up. Oh, yes, Lord, you are there. Forgive me for being too busy about my own business. Let me now be busy about your business. What can I do? Let me see. I can pray. I can read your word. I can write. And so this is what Paul did during these times. And we are so grateful that he did that, aren't we? Because now we have the ability to glean all of half of the New Testament. So what a blessing that is. But you know, it's true, truly true, that what the enemy intends for evil, God does use for good. And we can think about so many people in the Bible, can't we? I mean, Joseph comes to mind, that God had set, the enemy had intended something evil in their life, but God turned it around and used it for good. And you know what? That's the same with our life too. Anything, you know, everything that happens in our life is Father filtered. You know that, right? As a believer, some things we bring on ourselves by disobedience. So sometimes the Lord uses that for correction, for protection in our life too. And then to help us to grow in our walk with Him. But for those things that happen in our life that we may question and not understand why, just trust Him. Just trust that the Lord is going to or has or will work all things together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, as Danielle said earlier, because that's a promise in the Word of God, Romans 8:28. That's, we hang on to that promise, and we can quote that promise back to the Lord, and we tell Him, "You will, because You promised that You will work this together for good in my life. So do it, Lord." Well, not only was Paul an author and a missionary, he was also a shepherd. And this is what I love most about Paul, that he tended the flocks that he planted and that he loved them. He loved them. He tended them, he fed them, and he loved them. And one thing that I also appreciate about Paul is that he wasn't afraid to tell it like it was. He wasn't afraid to be bold. He wasn't afraid to confront in love and grace, which is important to do as well. But he delivered hard words, but seasoned them with grace and love. And that's something as we read on and we learn, especially our first book to the Galatians, he doesn't greet them with a really sweet greeting. He gets right to the point. And the point is, why have you turned away so soon? I marvel is a word that Paul uses, that you've turned. And maybe we think of some people in our own lives that have come to the Lord and then walked away. And we would say, I marvel that you, how could you have walked away? When you changed and God did so much, and we marvel. This is what Paul's going to be saying. And we'll find out how indeed they did walk away, and we would want to steer clear from that as well. But Paul was not afraid to confront someone, especially if it had to do with false doctrine, because those are his babies. Those were his sheep. He was the shepherd of those sheep. And I know, because I have a shepherd that I live with, and if anybody messes with a sheep, it's like somebody messing with his own kids. Like, you do not go after my sheep. He's very protective, and that's the heart that Paul brings forth in the book of Galatians is, no, you did not do that. You can see a little attitude, nope, you did not do that. So he goes hard after his sheep. Above all, though, in these books, in the heart of Paul the Apostle, we see one thing that above anything else, and Paul always points to Jesus and gives Jesus the glory. And that is something else that we can learn from him. Whenever we're in a conversation, whenever we're talking about the word or about something, we should always bring it back to Jesus. It's all about him, and therefore he receives all the glory. Well, are you ready to be blown away by this year? Because it's really good, meaty stuff. And not just here in the word and in the teaching, but my prayer for you gals is that you'll develop some really sweet friendships and that you'll sharpen each other in your group time and just connecting. And this year, again, why we wanted to launch our new website is we really felt like we wanted to make sure and give you every opportunity to connect with other women. So we're giving you lots of opportunities. Now it's entirely up to you to make the connection. And so we're super excited about that and giving you that opportunity. But I can't wait to dig deep into these books, you know, and get to know Jesus even more. But I pray that you're blessed this year by by the teaching of the word, that you'll grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and that you'll be blessed by these new friendships as you sharpen and encourage one another in the word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we do love you and praise you, and we thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for all these ladies. We pray that your word would fall upon hearts that are ready to receive. And if anything today pricks someone's heart, we pray that, Lord, you would have them respond in obedience to what that is, God. So, Lord, we give this time to you. Thank you for these gals. Give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.